You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen. See what we did there? We transitioned during the prayer. That's the trick. If your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you don't see that. Grateful that you are here. Grateful to be worshiping together. So excited for Love Foco and VBS, all the stuff that's happening at the Vineyard. It's going to be a really great summer to spend together. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. And today I'm excited because we're kicking off a new sermon series, one that's going to last all summer long, rooted in the book of Galatians. Galatians is an amazing book. It's all about your freedom in Christ and what it means to live a spirit-filled and spirit-empowered life. Every summer at the Vineyard for 10 weeks, for the whole summer, we pick one book of the Bible and we kind of slowly work our way through the Bible. We usually alternate between Old and New Testament each year, and this summer it's New Testament. We're in the book of Galatians. And just a quick side note, if you don't have a Bible reading plan, I put a link to a great app that I would highly recommend in my sermon notes at votrweekly.org. You can download that, jump in with us, watch the video on Galatians, and read it a few times this summer. If you already have a Bible reading plan and you stick to it, that's great, that's fantastic. But if you need help reading the Bible in kind of your daily devotion to God, follow that app and it will really help you start that journey. I'm so excited to read Galatians 2 because, you know, it was written about 20 or so years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's in the New Testament, served the early church in incredible ways. And it was written by a church planter and apostle named Paul. And bonus for me, it's the first book of the Bible I ever read. First book of the Bible I ever read. And even though you'll see it's only 6 chapters long, it took me weeks to get through 6 chapters. It's like 8 pages in your Bible, 6 chapters long. It took me 6 weeks to read the book of Galatians because I could only read one paragraph a day when I first became a Christian. I couldn't even read one chapter. I just couldn't, like, none of the words made sense to me. I didn't have a frame of reference for any of the stuff I read about. It never made sense to me. And so all I could handle is one paragraph a day. I was so confused by why they keep bringing up all these things I know very little about in the Old Testament, all these rites and rituals. And then when you read the book of Galatians, you're like, why do they keep talking about circumcision all of the time? It's so strange. I thought that was like a pediatric conversation. Turns out it's everywhere in the book of Galatians, and we'll explain why in the coming weeks as well. But I could only handle a few paragraphs at a time. And then every week I would meet with a guy named John Heatbrink. He's the first guy who ever discipled me, and we met once a week for 2 years, and we would just talk about what I was reading. And so once a week, we would talk about one chapter because that's all I could get through in 1 week. Now, thankfully, I've learned to sit in the scripture longer and to read more and to love the word of God. But looking back, I am so grateful for the people who taught me how to read the Bible and pray. I'm so thankful for the people who walked with me for those years. And I just want to let you know, if you've never read the Bible before, a paragraph a day is a great place to start. A paragraph a day can turn into a chapter a day, and a chapter a day can turn into something else. And as you spend time in the Word of God with our Lord Jesus Christ, He will transform your life. And so you'll never grow if you don't start. So just start wherever you can and surround yourself with people like I had, like John Heatbrink. I mean, if you don't have someone like that in your life, find them and ask them to meet with you and hold you accountable. It's good to take ownership for your own spiritual growth, isn't it? And so if you don't have someone in your life like that, find them. You'll be amazed how God shapes you in the coming years. Well, let's jump into it. Galatians 1, I'm going to read the first 10 verses before we kind of work our way through it together this morning. This is how Galatians begins. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches in Galatia. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. This is just an incredible opening passage in the book of Galatians. I particularly love verse 3 when Paul writes, "May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." I mean, I think we all need more of that in our lives. We all need more grace and more peace in our lives. We all need more of that. And you'll see in the coming weeks as we work our way through the book of Galatians, this is a repeated theme, this grace, peace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. In fact, the end of Galatians in chapter 6, it finishes almost the exact same way it starts, with Paul praying that the believers would experience the grace and peace of Jesus Christ. It's this giant sandwich of grace and peace and all kinds of directives on how to live in between those pages. You know, I'd mentioned it earlier, but really the book of Galatians, it truly is about freedom. It's about freedom from old religious systems. It's about freedom from a life marked and even controlled from sin and freedom through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we have to remember, and I think Galatians does an incredible job of reminding us over and over and over again that Jesus came to set you free. That Jesus came to set you free. And this is where our Christian faith, it begins. It's where we find our freedom in the fact that Jesus Christ came, lived, and dwelt among us, was crucified, buried, but rose back from the dead in order to offer you freedom today. If you look at verse 4 again, let's just zero in on this for a moment. It says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. He gave his life for you, to rescue you from this evil world all around you, and even the evil inside of you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've never heard the gospel, or started a life with God by making a personal decision to follow Jesus, this is a great verse to learn what it's all about. It's a great verse to get you started because it shows you the promises of following God. And if by the end of our time together this morning, if you realize, I've never actually committed my life to Jesus, but I'm ready to start a relationship with God today, then we'll help you do that by the end of our service this morning. And I have a belief and a hope and a faith that you can leave here a different person than who you came in as. You can leave with a greater sense of freedom and peace from Jesus Christ. But even if you've been following Jesus your whole life, it's so important to come back to scriptures like these over and over and over again, because the truth is we can all be bound by sin. We can all be held captive in different kinds of ways, ways that we don't even realize, and we need to be set free. I mean, when anger gets a hold of your heart, it doesn't go very easily. It doesn't leave very easily. If you struggle with jealousy or discontentment, those things don't have a way of just magically disappearing in your mind. If you've ever struggled with greed, it's not that that's just going to automatically leave your heart. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to partner with God to experience that freedom, because greed will not leave very easily. You can pick anything you want. Any bad habit or characteristic or quality that you kind of know doesn't belong in your heart. It doesn't belong in your life. And the natural momentum of those things is that they will increase if they're not attended to and fought against. They'll increase over time. They'll begin demanding more of your mind and your life and your heart and your relationships, not less. Just take a moment to self-reflect and think about whatever is kind of in there. And then, you know, if you want to create a real concoction, just add some stress to that, add some anxiety to that, take away some sleep, maybe skip a meal or two, and you're just going to be hangry all of a sudden. You're going to realize just how human you can become. I mean, if you want to know where the worst version of Jeff Faust, I can tell you where the worst version of Jeff always shows up. 100% of the time, it's when I have to accomplish a house project. There's just something about home projects where, like, all of a sudden my anger and my control issues, which really just stem from insecurities, they just start to well up and boil up out of me. Natalie came home from Target the other day with 12 new wonderful frames. And you know, we don't have anything on our wall, so it's good. Like, it's time to put pictures up on our wall. We just celebrated our 17th anniversary yesterday, actually, which is... Thank you for that. Now pray for me because I have to hang a bunch of pictures on the wall. And how, like, technology has advanced so much in the recent years. How have we not gained any innovation when it comes to stud finders? Where's the innovation behind stud finders? How come there are 8 holes in my wall and this drywall screws that you have to jam? I can never get it figured out. And then that happens to be the time Natalie pokes her head around the corner. She's like, Jeff, I think you missed the stud. I'm like, yeah, yes, I think I missed it 8 times. The studs are 36 inches apart in this house. What's happened? Where is the innovation behind the stud finders? Listen, this is like you, I can't pastor for 3 days after something like that. It's not even like a silly anger, like something inside of me is like, I don't actually know where this came from. Now, you can trace it back, and we could have a great family systems discussion about my brokenness. But the truth is, I need help. I need help from the Lord. I am utterly hopeless without the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working in and through me. I'll be a cranky old man. I really will. And we're talking about drywall screws and finding the stuff. We're not even talking about the real stuff that actually matters, like forgiving when you've been really hurt. We're not talking about like letting go of anger that's robbed you of joy for maybe a decade. We're not talking about the real stuff like living with a generosity that points people to our generous God. Or living with grace and patience that reflects Jesus Christ, a long suffering for one another through our struggles and challenges. We need the Lord to set us free. We're hopeless without him, and you are a lot like me. You are. It's fun to laugh at me, I get, but you're a lot like me too. We're all hopeless without Jesus. We need to be set free. It could be anger or addictions or unforgiveness or greed or jealousy. The list is long. It could be something way more sinister than all of those things. You're more bound than you realize, but thankfully, the gospel of Jesus Christ is clear. Christ came and died and rose again to set you free. To set you free. We are more bound than we probably realize, but the power of Jesus Christ is greater than we could ask, think, or imagine. And when the darkness surrounds you, his light can shine brighter still. His mercy, his grace will surround you and wash over you time and time again. His love and mercy will triumph over all. A life with God really starts when you realize that you can't save yourself and you need a Savior. And you place your trust in Christ and Christ alone to set you free. Verse 4 again, Jesus gave up his life to rescue you, just as God always planned. Jesus came to set you free. And if you keep reading in the passage, you realize that Jesus alone sets you free. He came to set you free, and it's him alone that will set you free. And for centuries, people have been trying to add to the gospel story or take away from the gospel story, but it's made clear in Scripture. There's nothing that you can do to add to the equation or take away from the equation when it comes to God's rescue plan. It's Christ alone who sets you free. And 2,000 years ago in the church of Galatia, they were really struggling with this. And so it compelled Paul to write them this letter to kind of bring clarity to the gospel again and again and again, in the same way he's writing to us today, because we have a similar struggle. We're still trying to add things to the gospel or take away from the gospel. Let's just remind ourselves what the passage says in verse 6 and 7. It says, I am shocked. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. You know, Paul, he takes this message of Christ so seriously that in the next few verses, he actually says, if anyone preaches a different gospel than the one we originally preached to you, let a curse fall on them. And if you've ever read about curses in the Bible, you know those are serious words. Paul is taking the preaching of the gospel very seriously. He's taking our understanding of the gospel very seriously. And what's so offensive to some about Jesus is that we can't add anything to it. We can't add anything to it, but we want to. We want to prove our worth and make our own way. We at least want to hold something up to Jesus alongside of the cross so that we can feel good that we're kind of somehow adding something to the equation, but it doesn't work that way. It's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. It's a free gift of God's grace for you. And when you try to sweeten the pot by saying, yes, I'll take Jesus and I'll add this thing, you know what? It actually diminishes the love of Christ for you. It diminishes the power of cross when you try to add something to it. For the church in Galatia, they were trying to add different kinds of religious rituals and backgrounds and pedigrees, and we're going to talk about some of those things in the coming weeks. But really, they were searching for anything that they could add to the equation. Anything they could add to the equation. Salvation comes from Jesus and this one thing that you've done before. Or salvation comes from Jesus and this religious rite that you need to also accomplish in order to be saved. And what it did is it made them feel better, and then it allowed them to compare their faith to someone else and kind of take an upper step compared to someone else. This is what was happening in the book of Galatians. But again, that's not how it works. It's Christ alone. Christ came to set you free, and Christ alone will set you free. And it's sad, but there are all kinds of false gospels out there today. There are all kinds of false gospels out there. And the more you get to know the original, the more you can spot the counterfeit. You know, I remember 17 years ago talking about our anniversary when Natalie and I first got married. We did what a lot of new couples did. We were new to Kansas City. We were living there at the time, and we had this new little family. It was her and me. We were starting our own family. So we did what anybody does in kind of a life change type of moment. We had to go church shopping. And I don't know if you've ever church shopped, but it's kind of a miserable experience. Like, I don't feel like I'm a highly critical guy, but I've never felt so judgy than when I started church shopping. You know, you just like go in and you listen and you're trying to, and sometimes what's worse is like, you know, within 5 minutes that you don't belong. And then you've got some decisions to make, right? Like, do we sneak out now and save ourselves the hour? Like, we could go out for brunch or like maybe you go to the bathroom and I'll stick around for 5 minutes and then I'll come out. We'll both leave together. Or do we just stick this thing out for the next 60 to 70 minutes and we just, you know, have to go through this painful experience, which is normally what we did. You could be doing that right now. God bless you. Thank you for the smiles on your faces. I've never felt so critical than when I did church shopping. But the, you know, the truth is, if this is where you're at right now, if you're like trying to find a faith community, you're trying to find a home church, I would encourage you to take it seriously. I would encourage you to, I mean, Paul definitely took it seriously. And he was encouraging everyone else to take it seriously. Find a church home that will help you thrive spiritually and get you connected with spiritual friendships that will take you on the journey, and so that in 1, 3, 5, 10, or 20 years, you will be a different person than you are today. Take it as seriously as Paul did, and make sure you pay attention to how they're preaching the gospel. Because apparently it's quite serious. And there are all kinds of false gospels out there. You know, A.W. Tozer once famously wrote, "I fear that there are two crosses, the old and the new, the counterfeit and the true, the one of sacrifice and the one of comfort and blessing, unending blessing." Pay attention to the gospel that lives in your heart, the gospel that you surround yourself. And Paul said, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. I mean, he's getting really serious in a couple of these verses, isn't he? Don't be fooled, he said. And so I feel compelled to uncover at least a few false gospels with you this morning. If Paul's going to be this serious, then I think we should at least be a little serious together too. And if there's, this is just the place to have conversations like this. If you can't have sacred conversations that really matter in a setting like this, where are you going to have them? And Paul was very serious about it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we should at least uncover at least a few of the common false gospels that are around us today. The first one is Christian nationalism. It's a false gospel. It's a false gospel. It feels really new. Here's the thing about Christian nationalism. It feels really new because it's in the current events right now. But actually, this has been around for centuries. It's been around for centuries, well beyond America. I mean, leave it up to the Americans to think that we created some kind of new theology. You know, this has been around for like 2,000 years, right? People have always believed some version of Christian nationalism. And the reason why it's a false gospel is because people are holding Jesus up with their nation and saying, both will save me. Both will save me. I find my peace and my salvation and my grace from both Jesus and nation. But it's not the gospel. The gospel says Christ alone. Christ alone will set you free. Turns out, you can follow Jesus no matter where you're living and no matter who's in charge. You really can. You can follow Jesus with your whole heart. The government will never secure a place for you in heaven. It's Christ alone. And that's why it's a false gospel. Another false gospel is what we might call the sacramental gospel. Now, the sacramental gospel, it sounds really fancy, but basically a sacramental gospel would sound something like this. Well, I'm saved because I got baptized when I was really young. And I went through some kind of religious experience when I was younger, and I'm trusting that in that experience instead of a personal relationship with Jesus. This is what we would call a sacramental gospel, where you rely on something that you went through, a religious class or a baptism or a communion or even your parents' faith. I talk to a lot of people who say, well, I grew up in a Christian home, therefore I'm Christian. Now, that's not what it means. The gospel says you have to place your own faith and your own trust in Jesus alone. You have to walk with him for in a personal kind of way, and that is how you experience a life-saving relationship with God. And I know, I can sense in the room, I'm drilling in a little bit on this, but again, Paul took this seriously, so we need to take it seriously. The last one I want to bring up is it's probably the most common one that I see as I talk with folks from around our city and I try to engage in conversations about following God. The last false gospel that I would present to you is what we might call the moralistic gospel. And the moralistic gospel simply is, you know, there's some kind of equation between good and bad, and as long as I've done enough good things to outweigh the bad things, then somehow when I stand before the Lord, the scales will somehow magically tip in my favor, and I'll be good to go. And listen, I hope you do a lot of good things in your life, but none of them will help you enter a life-saving relationship with Jesus. Only by placing your faith and your trust and learning to walk with him, even if it's imperfect, learning to walk with him, that's the only way. Christ alone has come to set you free. Now, all of those good things, we do them, but we do them in response to Christ's love, not in order to gain his love or gain his favor. Jesus Christ came to set you free, and Jesus alone came to set you free. Now, thankfully, as you read the book of Galatians and definitely these first 10 verses, you also realize that when you place your faith in Christ, when you place your life into his hands and into his care, the result is all kinds of wonderful promises. And at least in the first 10 verses of Galatians, you see one of these great promises that Jesus offers you grace, peace, and his loving mercy. They're all found in these first 10 verses, and they'll be seen throughout the book of Galatians. But right away, you see that his grace, peace, and loving mercy are yours when you commit your life to Jesus. In the opening paragraph, Paul rejects all these false gospels, but affirms. He affirms that when you receive Christ, these promises are yours from the moment you say yes to Jesus. His grace, his peace, and his loving mercy. And the beauty of the gospel is that when it's all up to him and it's all about his work, when it's all up to him and it's all about his work, it means that Jesus loves the current version of you, not just some future version of you. But he loves you perfectly today. He doesn't love you more back in the day when maybe you had more zeal and passion of following Jesus. He doesn't love you more when you finally become more spiritually mature, or like the version of you 10 years from now. He loves you perfectly today. And I used to really struggle with this. And on my worst days today, I can still really struggle with this. But I have to continually remind myself and find the promises of the Bible to remind myself that God loves me perfectly today. What used to happen for me is that I used to believe that he forgave my past. And he kind of like is happy that I'm walking with him today, but he's actually going to love the future version of me, like when I become more spiritually mature and wise. But again, that's not it. You won't find that in here. God loves you perfectly today. He cares about who you're becoming. Of course he does. He wants to shape you and mold you and heal you so that you can become more and more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. But even before any of that happens, the gospel says that God loves you perfectly today, and he promises to give you grace, peace, and surround you with the mercies of Christ. I've always needed more of that. I've always needed more grace, more peace, and more mercy. And what I've come to learn is that as I experience more of that, it's easier for me to give it away. As I experience the grace, peace, and mercy of Christ, it's easier for me to give it to the people who are in my life, I'm really close to, that I really love. All week long, as I've been studying these scriptures and preparing for today, I've just been praying, God, would more than anything else, would you give us an experience of that promise? Would you give us an experience of abounding grace, unending peace, and the loving mercies of Jesus Christ? This is what we aim to do when we pray about how to create a Sunday service, and we pick our songs, and we find the scriptures, and we take communion, and we pray for one another. This is what it's all about. We want to experience the freedom that Christ has promised us, the grace, peace, and mercies that are abounding in him. So I want to close one last time by reading this central verse. This verse from this scripture in Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4. And I pray that the living word of God would just speak to you this morning, and that the Holy Spirit would come and make this known to you in a deeper way. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together.